So today we're going to talk about some part of our series on accessibility for Mix Online. And I'm here today with Mark Rideout, who's a PM on the Silverlight team. So do you want to tell us what your role on the Silverlight team is?
Yeah, so as you said, I'm PM. And PM basically means that I have to look at what are we going to do, how are we going to do it, how are we going to help our customers, and how is that going to relate to the features that we can ship. So I work on accessibility. I work on text box, which really important for V2.
Yep.
And also a lot of things around input and around keyboard and focus and things like that.
Okay, cool. And so you were also the PM for accessibility in WinForms as well.
That is correct. I've been in the accessibility land for quite a while now. It's been 7 years as part of Windows Forms, as a PM on Windows Forms, and then as a PM on the Silverlight team.
So, you know, a lot of accessibility questions have come up as people have started to adopt Silverlight 1.0. And, you know, I know you're working on Silverlight 2.0, but, you know, we have people that have taken, you know, instead of just doing these interactive ads and kind of media players, mm-hmm. and started to implement entire HTML websites using Silverlight 1.0. So can you talk about, number one, is that a good idea? And number two, what does the accessibility experience look like for somebody who's using Silverlight 1.0?
That's a great point. For the people that are creating really rich internet apps on 1.0, accessibility hasn't really caught up to that yet. And in 1.0, accessibility in 1.0 amounts to providing some alternative data on the root element. We don't expose a full accessibility tree to accessibility readers and accessibility tools. It's just an alternative data on the plugin.
So when you say alternative data, that's kind of like an alt tag, or
it's very similar to an alt tag on an image.
Okay.
So take your, if you're creating an ad with Silverlight where you want it to look really cool, you can provide some alternative data that says this is an ad for Halo 3, and we do have support for being able to invoke a default action.
Okay, cool.
So that way, if it was an ad for Halo 3. And yep. you can say, you know, click to, you know, see more information, and that default action, you can navigate to the Halo 3 website.
Okay, cool. So the basically you can automate, you know, one default action and so on. Yeah. So let's say somebody wanted to tab between a bunch of controls in a Silverlight object in 1.0.
In 1.0, we didn't have the concept of a control, much less a concept of tabbing. So. When you get to that level where you're trying to create a rich application using Silverlight 1.0, you really, to follow some of the guidelines that the WCAG team has created, you would need to go ahead and provide an alternative HTML implementation or layer HTML data alongside your Silverlight app.
Yep.
So it's really not, the accessibility 1.0 is not geared towards providing a controls experience.
Yeah,
that's where Silverlight 2.0 really comes in.
Yeah, and it's a good point. Using the, you know, HTML and layering the Silverlight over that is really what people used to do in Flash, and that's still, you know, a somewhat common Flash technique as well. So it's, you know, I think that's a good practice for 1.0.
Mm-hmm.
So you mentioned that things get better in Silverlight 2.0.
Yeah.
So do you want to talk about that a little bit and maybe get right into a demo?
Yeah, well, let me go ahead and show a demo. Basically, Silverlight 2.0, Silverlight 2, we have... provided a rich controls, accessibility control story. You can tab to controls.
And that's a good step because there weren't even any controls in Silverlight 1.
So controls can have focus. Controls can take keyboard input, which is really helpful for creating a control such as the text box. In addition, we expose the full accessibility tree to accessibility technologies and tools such as a screen reader.
Cool.
And we do this through the technology called UIA, which is UI automation.
Okay.
So.
Cool. All right.
Let me show a demo.
Yeah, let's see.
So first here, I have just a simple Hello World Silverlight application. And I'm just going to put in a text box into the content. And one of the things important for accessibility It's similar to, if you're familiar with iAccessible or MSAA technologies for accessibility, there's data that the developer designer needs to provide to say that this this text box, its name is, you know, first name.
Right.
Or its help text is, you know, enter text for first name here.
Right.
So that's exposed. We have XAML-friendly way of providing that data. That way, you can, you know, provide this content directly inside XAML. You don't have to go to code just to provide this additional data. And that's the first thing that...
And presumably, because it's XAML, you could do it through code if you wanted to, but you just don't have to.
Yeah. This is using the technology called attach properties. So you would follow the attach property syntax in code. But in XAML, you just select automation properties. That's a tag. And then you say, I want to supply the name.
Yep.
And you can say first name. And let me go ahead and give a width and height on this. And we'll compile this. Great. So let me go ahead and run this. This is just a simple hello world. I have a text box here. Great, I can type in the text. And now I'm going to go and there's a tool called UiSpy. And I'm going to pull up UiSpy here. UiSpy basically is a browser of all UI automation exposed objects.
Right.
And I'm going to use UiSpy to see that text box that we just created.
Cool. And this is basically the same interfaces that a screen reader or some other assistive technology would use to automate that application.
That's a great point. And that is correct. This is... this is exactly using the same technology that a screen reader would use.
Cool.
So, so one thing that you asked about, you know, what we're doing in version 2, and so we have the UIA foundation, and then on top of the foundation, the controls themselves that we ship in V2 are what we have to provide additional accessibility data. For example, a text box needs to say, I am a text box. And an image needs to say, I'm an image. Right now, the demo I have here, we don't have that level. We just are working on the foundation.
Okay.
So
it still looks like this is a significant step above Silverlight 1.0
because
you know, we see a control there, we see a help text, we see it showing through the UI automation interfaces. So.
Yeah, it's actually a valid point. I could put multiple different buttons in here, and I'm seeing a raw view of the accessibility tree.
Yeah.
UIA is extremely powerful. You can see content view, you can see a control view, or you can see a raw view. Each one of these views is extremely helpful because as a user who needs accessibility data, I might be interested mainly in just the content.
Right.
I need to know what text is on the screen. Or I might be interested in the controls. But maybe if you're trying to do some sort of automation of Silverlight, or you just want to get a raw view, UIA supports that view as well.
Cool.
So this is the raw view right now.
All right.
Outside of setting just simple properties in XAML, you can provide accessibility structure through, if you're creating a custom control, for example. If we just provided, you know, tags that you put on XAML or similar to tags that you might put on HTML, that doesn't really expose the richness of a programming model such as Silverlight.
Right.
And so if you're creating your own button, you're creating your own grid, you need to provide accessibility information for your button or your grid, and this is your own custom button. And UIA has a set of patterns for saying this is a button. You can invoke this button, meaning, you know, you can perform an action on it.
Right, and these are the things you said are not implemented in the demo that you're showing, but those will be implemented in the next public build.
They aren't implemented in the controls that we currently have, but I want to demo here some some quick bits of data around around how I would go ahead and provide my own accessibility information.
Okay, great.
So if you're having your own custom control, here I have a grid. Here in code, I am setting some accessibility properties. Here we see the same automation properties tag being used. Here I'm setting the help text. And here, pretend this is my own grid that I'm creating. So the way you provide data for accessibility readers for your custom control is to override this onCreate automation peer. And I want to highlight that this is the same approach that you would use if you're going to create a Windows Presentation Framework control. So this isn't like, you know, we didn't just create this for Silverlight, which is really helpful if you're creating a control for both WPF and for Silverlight. The code is the same. So we went ahead and overrode the onCreate automation peer, and we provided a custom object called a grid automation peer. And this grid automation peer, this is your user code, derives from automation peer, which is Silverlight's object. And then following UIA patterns, you're able to implement this interface, which says this is a grid. And this is defined by UIA. And this pattern says return the number of rows, return the number of columns, provide me with an object that represents this cell. And so using this approach of overriding onCreate automation peer and providing your own automation peer, and if necessary, implementing a UIA interface is how you would provide, if you're going to create your own custom control, that's how you would provide accessibility data.
Cool. And I presume that any of the control vendors that are already building controls for WPF, and there's a pretty vibrant ecosystem out there, are familiar with these best practices and how to do this. So this is just stuff that ports directly over to Silverlight.
That's the beauty of it. Yeah, it's a port. Or if you're now just getting on to creating controls for Silverlight, there's also a market for using that control in WPF. And accessibility is a very important area. And sometimes you might think, providing accessibility in my custom control isn't easy. But in fact, it isn't really that hard. And the nice thing is you can market that in WPF as well.
So. Yeah, and it seems like it opens up, all of these other possibilities that you mentioned, including the just automated, being able to automate interfaces that are built in this.
You could use it for testing. If you do the extra work as a custom, maybe a control vendor, do the extra work of exposing it through accessibility, you can automate your control.
Cool. So the other thing I wanted to touch on really quickly, based on these demos, is if I'm using somebody's custom control and just skinning it using all the style properties and so on, does this accessibility support just flow through?
It does. It's a good question. Since we're all based around every object that you see on the screen is based upon a core object called a visual. That's the easiest way to describe it. And that visual can be exposed in the accessibility tree. That tree that we saw in UISpy, that's that raw view of every single visual. And so whether you style your control, your button to look like a fish, or you style your button to look like a circle, the same approach for how you expose the data is not lost. And you can style it.
Yeah, the underlying accessibility tree would be the same.
It's the same,
right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So you mentioned that this is based on UI automation.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about how you see UI automation in Silverlight plugin relating to something like the ARIA, the rich internet app accessibility stuff that W3C has put together?
Well, I think the ARIA is very much needed for applications such as AJAX websites that they've taken something that's just a div tag that was introduced HTML maybe 2 or such and make it act like a button.
Yeah.
And as because of that, you need to provide additional data that says, hey, this div tag is really a button. Yep. And that's where ARIA really, really helps. In Silverlight, we have the power of saying this tag is a button tag. Right. UIA encompasses a richer accessibility technology that Silverlight exposes through rich tags. If HTML supported just having your own custom tags, then I think we wouldn't see ARIA the way it is. I think it would be different.
Right.
So I think ARIA is great for what it's focusing on, and UIA through Silverlight really shows the power of Silverlight and custom objects, custom controls, and as such, you need to provide the accessibility information for those controls, and UIA is a way to do it.
Right. And it seems like it's not really an either-or kind of choice, right? It seems like there's going to be certain scenarios where you may have a hybrid, or you may use one or the other, depending on, you can't use ARIA in Silverlight, you can't use UIA in HTML, and
right.
There you go.
There is definitely a need for both.
Yep. Okay, cool. So one other thing I wanted to touch on about the demos that you just showed, you mentioned that there's certain types of controls that you'll be able to mark something as a button, mm-hmm. Or a text box or so on. Can you talk a little bit more about what the content experience is going to be like? Just say for the average reader, the average user with a screen reader, how's that going to be?
Well, because UIA allows you to have different views of the data. For example, if you're going to create a text box is a great example. It's a control, but it's also content. So a content view of a text box will show the text, because that's what a content view is supposed to show. It's supposed to show what's the data in here that I wanting to read the screen would present. If it was control, control view is what do I need to interact with, and so a text box would show would prevent a content view of the text in the content in the text box. If I was a grid, the data grid, the content view would be the content of the rows, the text in there. And tree view is a great example. While a tree view might have the nodes of a tree view, you might think of those as controls. That's really content, because you need to know what's in the list. And so if you take your typical Silverlight application where you might have a list box, a couple buttons, you would have the list box as content. You would have the labels for the buttons as content. You would have the text box, the text in the text boxes as content. And that's what you would see in the content view.
Yeah, and this gets into something you mentioned a bit earlier about Silverlight having this rich capability to nest things and have containers and so on. So do the accessibility interfaces then expose things like, I have a stack panel or, I have groupings of content?
So by default, UIA, the way it views things as content and as controls, layout isn't a part of it. Right. And whether something's laid out horizontally or vertically, by default, that isn't exposed. We don't provide that information. That doesn't mean that...
Does the fact that it's grouped actually get exposed through the interfaces, though?
It doesn't. It doesn't. Though, logically, it could be. For example, great example of radio buttons. Yep. Radio buttons has a grouping, right?
Yep.
It's a logical grouping, even though, they might be contained on different... inside a different layout panel,
right.
And that data is definitely important to a screen reader, and that data can be exposed through UIA.
Okay, yeah. Great. So it seems like really the unit of grouping is then going to be some logical or semantic concepts such as a radio button or a list box or something.
Yeah,
rather than the layout primitives that are used by
exactly. A good way of describing how UIA's view of the tree versus the actual visual elements is that where necessary, we remove certain elements from the tree to present a logical view of accessibility. Even the raw view could be slightly logical versus the physical. This, for example, an image is really composed of a rectangle with an image brush internally.
Right.
There is no reason to, even in the raw view, to expose that as a rectangle.
Right. There's really no use for it.
Yeah. So we do remove some layers there. As we remove those layers, we present a logical view of the accessibility tree.
Okay, so cool. All right, so you've already mentioned that the bits that people have at Mix are not the bits that have the accessibility stuff in it.
Correct.
Are there things that people watching this can start doing today, though, to be ready when the next public available bits are out?
Yeah, so one of the nice things, since Silverlight accessibility follows the WPF model for accessibility, I would have people, I think people need to start looking at the automation properties class.
Yep.
in WPF, understand the best practices for WPF, how to make your WPF application accessible.
Yep.
When you learn those basics apply directly to Silverlight.
Cool.
And so understand automation properties. If you're creating custom controls on Silverlight, look at the best practices for how you would expose accessibility for your custom controls in WPF, because that model applies as well. And so automation properties and automation peer are the two classes that
right.
people need to start looking at to be ready for accessibility when the next version of Silverlight comes out.
So for the viewers out there, that means get ready by looking at the accessibility properties for WPF and make sure that your custom controls are ready, because the bits that will be coming soon will have what you saw here. And with that, thank you for your time.
Yeah.
It was good talking to you.
Thank you, Josh.